always wonder when we get to the Christmas season what it is that you're going to unwrap over the holidays. And what I mean by that is that we have moments like this that we get to go after whatever presents are put before us. And some of you are fortunate and you have been blessed by people in your world that will give you gifts, shower you with gifts, and there will be many things to unwrap over these next few weeks. Some of you, your circles are smaller, and you don't have that many people in your world, but there will be a gift or two along the way that become moments that you will remember, where someone took the time to say that they love you and they care about you. But the real question is, what will you unwrap this Christmas? See, it's very easy as we move into the season to forget about the manger. It's very easy as we move into this time of year to forget about what really counts. But you notice when you walked in that there in the center of our platform is a manger. Now, we Google Earthed it, so this is actually a replica of the one that was in Bethlehem. But this manger becomes the centerpiece of our Christmas celebration this year. And what we're going to give you the opportunity to do is the same thing that you just heard about in the story. Because we're going to jam as much joy as we can into this holiday season, hence the title Jingle Jam. And we're going to have fun. And we're going to play. We're going to laugh. And we're going to sing all of those songs that are associated with this time of year. But the one thing we're going to keep reminding you of is that the reason that we celebrate is because we have been given the greatest gift of love that could ever be given. And the way that we truly celebrate and discover the joy of that very first birth is as we serve others and give others moments of joy in their life. And so as a part of our worship experience, beginning next Sunday morning, there will be a moment in worship where we will actually ask you as we are singing to make your way to the front, to reach into this basket that we'll have located where you can get to it, to take out a piece of hay. This hay will then symbolize the week that you've had, those moments along the week that you've had where you've actually done something for someone else, where you've served them, where you've brought them joy, where you met their need, where you did it just because. And they may recognize that. They may have thanked you for it. They may have patted you on the back for it. They may have hugged you for it. They may have smiled when they saw it. Or maybe they didn't get to do any of that. Maybe you just did it because it needed to be done. And no one knows but you and God that you did it. As you take that piece of hay as an act of worship each week, it will be a symbol of the fact that you have remembered what it is that we're celebrating this time of year. And we're going to ask you to do something very simple with it. We're going to ask you to put it into this manger. And together, as we move toward Christmas Eve, we're actually going to give those gifts as expressions of worship to our Savior, saying that we love Him and we serve others because of Him. And then, of course, guess what happens Christmas Eve? The baby gets to the manger. And the baby will be placed in the manger and laid upon those gifts of love that you have put in the manger along the way. They become symbolic of the journey that we've had together over the course of this month, where you have shared the joy of this season with others and you've allowed the love of Christ to flow through you and meet the needs of others. This week's an easy start because you look on either side of me and you see these mountains of gifts that you guys have so richly and graciously reached into your pockets to provide for others who might not have Christmas any other way when it comes to gifts. And we're going to be sharing those Saturday. And then we're going to come back together on Sunday, and while the stage will look much emptier, the manger will still be there. And you'll have the opportunity to lay that hay, that piece of hay, as an act of worship, reminding us of what it is that we do and what it is that matters as we celebrate Christmas. And so the Jingle Jam has begun. And we are going to celebrate every way that we know how and remember to keep Jesus at the center of our celebration and enjoy all those things that happen in the orbit of that so that we can experience that Christmas that will change us forever. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we are very mindful of the fact that you are the giver of all good things and you love us. And because you have so richly and freely given to us, we have a chance, as an act of love and worship, to give to others. even the course of this week, we're going to find ourselves with opportunities to do some things and share some things that will allow our lives to touch other lives with your love. And so, Lord, I pray that even now you would begin to prepare us for all of the encounters and all the places that we'll go in the week ahead. Help us to hold on tight to all those moments that we have to serve. And help us to embrace each moment, recognizing it as a gift from you, as a part of our Christmas celebration this year. As we continue to sing this morning, allow the song of our hearts to become the expression of praise, thanking you for that gift of love. Good news. A Savior has been born and given to us so that we might understand and know what love is, so that we could touch and change the world with that same love. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Take your Bibles and turn to John chapter 3. John 3:16 is where we go this morning. As we think about and talk about getting ready to jam. And so that's the title of the Bible study. Let's jam. John 3:16 is where we're going to be. We're going to read verse 16 and 17. Grab this while you're here. Watch out. Thank you. You know, we have survived Thanksgiving. Most of you come in looking no worse for the wear. Some of you have admitted you ate too much, but for the most part, you had a great celebration. And so now you've done that. You have survived Black Friday. You finished all your Christmas shopping. And so now you can relax and enjoy the holiday season because you have nothing else to do. Everything is done. The presents are bought. They're wrapped. Everything has been taken care of. There's nothing pressing on your calendar. Now you just get to kick back and ease your way through the rest of this Christmas season. And so I'm excited for you. My life is not that way, though. There's much to be done. And there's no secret. I love Christmas time. This is my favorite time of year. I walked into Walmart the other day, and blaring through the speakers that were set up on the boombox that they had set up on the Walmart shelf on the garden department, because that's where they put their Christmas decorations. There's really no speaker system out there. I'm hearing joy to the world. The Lord has come. Let earth receive her king. I flip my television on to the Hallmark channel. And in the middle of a Hallmark movie, I hear, "What child is this who's laid to rest on Mary's lap, sleeping? This is Christ the King." And then I get in my car, and even on the way this morning, I hear, "Silent night, holy night. Son of God loves pure light. Radiant gleams stream from thy holy face, with the dawn of redeeming grace." Talking about, thinking about, and hearing about Jesus. And I don't know about you, but I think it's something incredible about hearing those songs in public places, or hearing those songs in movies where you may not expect to hear them, or hearing them just randomly play across whatever radio you're listening to. And I hear people complain, and it's already happening this time of year, that Christmas is too commercial and Christ gets left out of Christmas. But frankly, I don't understand that. Because I just rattled off Walmart, television, my car. And I've heard about Christ in each of those places. And if you will open your ears and quit complaining, let me make you a promise. You'll catch a glimpse of Jesus somewhere during this Christmas season. And so I don't go down that road where I complain about it, because I think there's something amazing. I actually think it has to be an act of God. That we can move through this season and more people find reasons to celebrate and think about Jesus at this time of year than any other time of year. In a world that often talks about trying to push God out of the marketplace, in a world that sometimes tries to push God aside and get him out of the limelight, this is a time of year where everything that we do revolves around him. Even on the secular side, I understand that maybe there's nothing real sacred about jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle bells. I got that. And maybe chestnuts roasting on an open fire didn't happen at that first Christmas in Bethlehem. I got that. But yet every one of those songs can get people to a moment where they have a life-changing connection with Jesus, because it is his season. And you can't undo that, and you can't take that away, and nothing ever unravels that. And so we embrace that here, and we want to have fun with it. Because I think one of the things that happens is when you will take advantage of that, you will discover there are a lot of opportunities to jam all sorts of joy into the Christmas season. And that's what we decided to do as we kind of set out and kind of planned out this year as we kind of move through Christmas. We wanted to make sure that we worship in such a way that we give you an opportunity to catch the sacred, see the spiritual in the secular side, and also take advantage of the opportunities that God gives you to serve and do ministry in the midst of all the things that are going on around us. Because, see, if you don't know, people desperately need to catch a glimpse of God. Most people have this image of God that God is angry, that his arms are crossed, and he's mad. They think about a God who wants to judge, who wants to condemn, who wants to hurt. And yet we come along and we start singing about Christmas and we discover a God whose arms are open wide, who reaches out to us in love and does everything that he can do on his part to reach out and open up the gates of heaven to us so that we can experience him. And so this morning, we're going to go to a passage of Scripture, and it is your jingle jam of the day, if you will. A familiar passage, John chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. These words were spoken by Jesus himself about 30 years after that very first Christmas. After he arrived in Bethlehem, he was the one that was talking about it when he said, and he's talking about Christmas, by the way. See, I think that sometimes you've forgotten that these verses are about Christmas. These verses are said by Jesus about his birth and why it happened. These are Christmas verses, in case you didn't know. He says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever would believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Jesus describes his own birth. It's a Christmas story. And then he goes on, "For God didn't send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." There are three things, three truths, three realities that I want you to see this morning that will jam some joy into your Christmas celebration as you get cranked up. You know the verses, you're familiar with them. So let's not lose, because of our familiarity, what the verses really mean. The first thing I want you to see is simply this, that God loves. Christmas is an expression of God's love. Look at the verse. "God so loved the world." You know, he didn't have to create the world, but he did. And after he created us, he could have left us on our own. Left us to our own devices, left us to us to figure out for ourselves, and we found out that with two people in the world, they screwed it up. And left to our own, we just couldn't get it right. But he didn't leave us alone. He didn't give up on us. And so from the book of Genesis on, we begin to see a redemptive plan that begins to form and formulate and move into place. And the simple reason that Jesus came into the world is because God loves you and me. And not just in an informal, academic, philosophical sense, but in a very real, physical sense, where he arrives and he changes who he is and becomes someone who can connect with us just the way that we are. So he can connect with us on an emotional level so that we can understand what his love is all about. There's a God out there who rejoices over you, who cares about you, who takes delight in you, and Scripture says even sings over us. That's the God that's revealed in Scripture. When the angels announced the birth of Christ to the shepherds in Luke chapter 2, what did they say? They said, "And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men.'" Peace. Goodwill toward men. That's the God of the Bible. He loves us, and he came to reveal himself. And Christmas reveals to us a God who loves us with arms open wide. And it's a y'all come invitation. Y'all come to celebrate. The second thing you need to see is simply this. God gives. Christmas is an expression of God's generosity. God so loved the world that he gave. What did he give? Himself. The best gift you could ever get. The gift that would never fade, that would never wear out, that would keep going on and keep giving and giving and giving. He gave himself. He gave his only begotten son because that's what we needed. We needed a Savior. When the angels announced the birth of Jesus, they said, "For unto you this day in the city of David is born a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." He gave us a Savior because we needed to be saved from our sin, because the sin is what separated us from God. And so not only did that first gift, Christmas gift, come wrapped in love, but that first Christmas gift was exactly what we needed, a Savior that would give us the salvation that we needed to reconnect with God and form an intimacy with Him. Truth is, we don't need the Bible to tell us about sin. Did you read the headlines on Yahoo this morning? The world's a broken place. Did you watch any of the cable news channels? The world's a mess. See, we don't need to go to the Bible to discover what sin is. We can look and find it all around us. It's reported nonstop ad nauseum, 24 hours a day. We live in a broken world where people can't get along. They don't know how to act. They don't know how to talk. They don't know how to behave. We don't need the Bible to tell us about sin. We've got that down. Matter of fact, we go back to Adam and Eve again. What did they do? They sinned. Left to their own, they sinned. Because there's something about us that just knows how to choose wrong. We know how to screw things up. Now, I don't know about you. Maybe you had a great week. Maybe you didn't mess anything up. But you know what? Most of the people in this room understand that no matter how hard you try, you just can't get it right. God understands that. And so while we were still sinners, He loved us. And into the world steps the Savior. For God so loved the world that He gave. The angel told Joseph that a son would be born to his wife Mary in Matthew chapter 1. And this is how the angel said it. "And she'll bring forth a son. You'll call his name Jesus. For he shall save his people from their sins." Because he had to save us from our sins so we could live the life of freedom, the abundant life that he wants us to experience. The angels called him Savior. They called him Christ. They called him Lord. Because they were saying, this isn't just a little baby. This baby is going to be far more than any other baby that's ever been born. This baby carries with him the hope and the future of all mankind. That's why you can't walk into the Walmart without hearing about Jesus. That's why you can't turn on your radio without hearing songs about Jesus. That's why in a world that desperately would like to silence the people of God and silence the message of God, Christmas comes along and we light up the world and we change all of our lives and we put a pace on our lives that just exhausts us, and at the same time, we're reminded again of just how much we've been blessed and how much we can give and share. I mean, why else would we do that if we didn't have something to celebrate? I mean, why else would you guys, as a ministry, do this? Why else would so many of you sign up to give of your time next Saturday to meet people that you don't know, to talk with people you don't know, to share with them the love of Christ, to create moments of magic for families that you don't know, that you won't be with on Christmas Day, that you may never ever see again in this side of glory? Why would you take your time to do that? You're insane. Unless you've discovered a love that has changed you from the inside out. And you've discovered a purpose of living that comes from on high, where you begin to realize that you've been given and loved so much, you can't outgive the God who's expressed that to you. And only through those expressions of giving back to Him and doing for others and serving, can you fulfill what you were created to do. That's why we're going to bring you back to the manger time and time and time again through this Christmas celebration. That's why we're going to give you the opportunity to come forward. And some of you are out there going, because when I said it, I could already see it in your eyes. I could see the way that your heads go. He's going to ask us to get up out of my seat and move forward and pick up a silly piece of hay to put in a manger because they think it's going to look cool? That's not what I ask you at all. And if that's what you heard, shame on you. Shame on you. I ask you to think and remember the things that you've done that have shared the love of Christ, and as an act of worship, pick up a little piece of hay and lay it on the altar as a part of worship as we celebrate Christmas. That's not what you heard? You need to listen better. Because that's the call of Christ in our life. Because each day this week, you're going to have the opportunity to do those kinds of things. And we're just asking you to give a testimony to what God has done and what God has done through you. For some of you, you may need to write it down. You might forget. Take the time to write down the way that God is using you, the way that God is giving the opportunities to pour your life in others, to give you a chance to share your love with others. How are you going to serve others and make their life different because of what they've done? See, this is a part of worship. This is a part of celebration. You can say, oh, I don't need to do that kind of stuff. Because Jesus knows. Trust me when I tell you. Oh, he knows. He knows you very well. And he knows those stubborn sides of us, and he knows those parts of us that are hard to change, and he knows those parts of us that don't want to change, and he knows those parts of us that just want to be plain ornery. And then we take pride in our orneriness by saying, well, that's just how I am. And Jesus says, but you don't have to stay that way. And he begins to change our heart at Christmas, because you know what? I've seen folks at Christmas that can be crusty and rough on the outside, but I tell you what, there's a moment and your heart breaks because you realize how much you've been loved. You can't outgive God. And the Christ of Christmas comes and we're reminded again and again and again that he gives and he gives and he gives. How can we outgive that? And the last thing I want you to see is that God forgives. God forgives. See, you could have written this outline for me. But Christmas is also an expression of the mercy of God. Regardless of what you might have heard from critics of Christianity, regardless of what you hear from a few misinformed fanatics, God is not out to get you. He's not out to punish you, judge you, or condemn you. He came to love you so that you could spend an eternity with him. Go back to the passage. For God did not send his Son into this world to condemn the world. Many of us have taken on that role for him. Your job and my job is not to condemn the world. The world will do a fine job of that on their own. They don't need your help. But we're called to do what Jesus did, that through the world, through him, they might be saved. God sent his Son so that you and I would have a second chance. And even a second chance for our second chance if we need it. And even a second of a second of a second if you need that. And that's who he is. And that's what mercy means. I'm going to close this morning. We're going to sing again. But I want to share with you a story that I almost don't want to share with you because if you're a child of the 70s, you know it. And as cool as it was, and as popular as it was, the story got ruined by a song that was a Grammy-winning bestseller that would get in your head, that you couldn't get out of your head, that would drive you flat nuts, and when I tell you what the song is, you're going to remember it. You go, I know that song. It was sang by a guy who was named, he wasn't really named for a town in our area, but he carries that title. His name is Tony Orlando. Ah, see, it just went on. And he sang with two ladies named Dawn. That wasn't their names. They were individually named, but together they called themselves Dawn. And we're not talking dishwashing detergent. But Tony Orlando and Dawn did this little song that was actually written in about 15 minutes by a guy who had heard a story, who wrote down a song, and the song was Tie a Yellow Ribbon Around the Old Oak Tree. The words are iconic. I'm coming home. I've done my time. And I've got to know what is and isn't mine. But if you've received my letter telling you I'd soon be free, then here's what you have to do. and I can't remember the rest. Anyway, because it really wasn't one of my favorite songs. But it's a song about a guy that's released from prison that comes home and he just wants to know if he's still loved, if he's still welcome. And if he is, all he asked for is for his girlfriend to meet him, or not meet him, but just tie a yellow ribbon around the old oak tree that sits there at the station so he'll know. And he tells everybody in the bus about his story. And by the end of the whole bus is cheering because there's 100 yellow ribbons around the old oak tree. What you don't know about that song, although it was a best-selling hit and people sang along and they just go, oh, what a great song. It's a Christmas story. What? Talk about jam and joy into your Christmas. It's a Christmas story. It started with a story years and years and years ago at a very dark time in American history. Brutal time. You can't rewrite history. You just have to learn from it and you grow from it. And so we were a nation that was divided into two factions, the North and the South. And we went to war over issues that the people of that era deemed were important and worth fighting for. The war comes to an end. The president is Abraham Lincoln. Abraham Lincoln has a problem. What to do with the Confederate soldiers who are now captives of what was the Union Army? What's lost in history, which you may not know, is that in December of 1863, President Lincoln made a declaration that made him extremely unpopular. He was going to grant amnesty to any and every Union, every Confederate soldier that would swear an oath of allegiance as a citizen of the United States of America so a divided nation could step through their divisions and move forward. There was one Confederate soldier. And he had been in prison a long time. He'd been in prison so long, he didn't know what kind of home he was going back to in the South. But he came to the awareness that that war was wrong, and his belief system changed, and he had made a decision. He swore his allegiance to the United States of America and was ready to go home. So in a letter, he wrote to his wife, and he talked about not understanding the world that he was coming back to. Not knowing what he was going to come back to when he arrived back in his beloved South. Times had changed, life had changed, the world had changed, but he had also changed. And in the letter, he begins to write about the changes in his life and in his heart, and how he is ready to move forward, and he sees things so differently now than when the war started. But then he said he understood. If, for some reason, the home that he hoped that he had was no longer going to be home, he would understand, he said, if there was no safe place to land, no forgiveness for the past, no where to return to. But because President Lincoln had now granted him amnesty, he was going to come home. And he said, when I arrive, if I arrive, and you want me to be there, tie a ribbon, a Christmas ribbon, to let me know I can come home for Christmas. So he made his journey from the North, very similar to the Tony Orlando song. He didn't ride a bus, didn't ride a train. He came on horseback. Instead of going home, he went to the town square. And there in that town square, very similar to the song, he found a huge Christmas bow, a green bow, wrapped around the trunk of that tree. And then the tree was decorated with bows up and down every single branch. And his friends and his family and his neighbors were there to welcome him home and wish him Merry Christmas. See, I always thought as a kid when I heard the Tony Orlando and Dawn song that wouldn't it be great if there were a Christmas song? And it is. And it's a song that came out of a story at Christmas time where we were reminded that no matter what we've done or where we've gone or where we've gone off track, there's forgiveness. Forgiveness that can be found. And so, wrapped, not in a ribbon, but in swaddling clothes, in a feeding trough, in a little out-of-the-way place called Bethlehem, Jesus arrived, decorated for Christmas, if you will, to remind us that we had a place to return to, a place to call home, and a place to find forgiveness. No matter what we've done, no matter how far we've strayed off track, no matter how many ways we've traveled and tried to go away from Him, we have a home to come back to. It's time to come home for Christmas and recognize that your Creator has done everything that He could to give you a chance to not only connect with Him, but to live a life, an abundant life, that goes far beyond anything that you dared hope for or imagine. A life that is a God-breathed life where you can become and experience everything that He has laid out for you, and that you can spend each and every moment of your life sharing His love and impacting the world around you. It's His gift. And as you do that, you begin to discover a joy that you cannot even describe. It is a joy that goes beyond words, because it's a joy that has nothing to do with feeling, but has everything to do with His presence. Because He was the present. And when you live your life differently because of that present, then it doesn't matter how many things that you'll unwrap like this. You'll discover a joy that is yours every moment of every day, that will carry you not just through this Christmas season, but through every day of your existence. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, the phrase that is used in Scripture is Emmanuel, God with us. Because if you weren't with us, we would be a hopeless, sorry lot. But because you are with us, because you're with us, we get to experience a forever that comes because of who you are, what you've done. And we get to experience life at a different level altogether. There are some, as we approach this Christmas season, who have never made the decision to lean all in to the manger. They've never decided to accept that gift of your presence. They've never made the decision to believe, trust, and follow you. And so for anyone who's listening this morning, who is watching later, or even in this room this day, I pray that if they've never made the decision to believe, trust, and follow you, that before they would leave this place this day, they would fill out a worship flyer and say, I want to accept Jesus as Savior. They would drop us an email, that they would call us and say, this is a decision I want to make. What do I need to do now? So that we can share with them how the joy of Christmas can be theirs every day of their life. Or for others, we just need to slow down long enough and remember what it is we're supposed to do. And so, God, I pray that you would give to us the opportunity to share your love with others. Lord, as we get ready to worship and leave this place, that is our marching orders, our now what of the week, to go out, to serve others, to love others, and share who you are, what Christmas means with those that we meet. If we can do that, then this Christmas will be very different than any other time of year for us. And this Christmas will be a Christmas that will last. Help us to do and be all that we were created to be. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.